Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy and remain the key to fueling our nation's growth. Our very own Mark Haney is on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown we love. He is the ultimate small business coach, sounding board, and storyteller. But to us, he's still good old Marky from down on the block. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
It's not the critic that matters most. The credit goes to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. We're on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. You know, entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the big risks. They risk their resources. They risk their relationships. They even risk their reputation, all in order to put food on the table for their family, to build something important in their lives. And that's what the Mark Haney Show is all about. I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney, the Marine Entrepreneur. Marcus, entrepreneurship. You are an entrepreneur. How are things going in your world today, buddy?
My world is going good. You know, I think the topic for today is risk. And, you know, I look at that as, okay, hey, what have I done to put myself in a risky situation? And I'm a disabled veteran business, started a supply company, and my big competition are the Fortune 500 companies, the Grangers of the world. So it's kind of a new age David versus Goliath type of story.
David versus Goliath. And I mean, you have some experience in your world in taking risk. Obviously, you're a veteran. You took one for the team in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Your share of risk. Describe, what's the difference? You got the risk of a fighter versus the risk of your resources, your reputation, and you know, you're trying to put it all out on the line to build a business for you and your son.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's my most important thing in my whole life. But you know, I look at it as no difference, right? I think if you decided to go all in on whatever it is, whether it be your son and your legacy, or it be your brothers to your left and right that are fighting alongside of you, I think if you commit 100%, the outcome is all the same, and you guys are on a path to win together.
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, you don't want to be that guy that wakes up. I call it old man syndrome. You wake up, you're an old man in the rocking chair saying, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Back in my day, I had the opportunity to buy that property. You know, I don't know how those guys did it. I guess they have the horseshoes, you know, around their neck. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the old man who's having all these regrets.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't want to be.
Old man syndrome? I thought they had pills for that.
Old man syndrome? Yeah, no, there is a cure. But there's no cure for the rocking chair, old man, other than get in the game.
No doubt.
You know, Jeff Bezos, Amazon fame, he has the regret minimization filtering philosophy, right? So if I'm going to regret it when I'm an old man, well, then maybe this is time when I ought to go in on this idea instead of hanging back and living to regret it when I get old.
Well, that's kind of what you're doing with starting this entrepreneurial revolution here in Sacramento, is not trying to get old, right? You have your step minimization and going backwards, right? You have a clock right
I
here in the Marquee Media Studio.
Yeah, I'm a security camera salesman, built a couple companies, had some success and sold them, and now I'm trying to help my hometown, the hometown that grew me up, and you know, help. It's the best way to meet the most ambitious people in Sacramento, so it's kind of like my little secret project here of what's the easiest way to meet all the most successful people in the region. I've found the way. That's what the Mark Haney Show is all about. And, you know, I think about the people in my life that have helped me. And the other day, well, actually, you know, it reminded me today because Apple, right? So Apple, I'm an investor from the early days in Apple, not as early as I would like to have been, but the stock is way the heck up right now. Yeah. The Apple stock hit over $1 trillion in market cap, I noticed today.
That is crazy. I thought Amazon was going to beat them there, but they snuck it out.
I was hoping for Facebook too.
Yeah, exactly,
but,
right?
It ended up going Apple's the first one to $1 trillion. And it reminded me of my story, you know, my marquee media moment. I'm on the way home from the office the other night, and I get ready to call your mom, tell her, you know, I'm on the way home, honey, and I said, you know, hey Siri, you taught me how to use the phone using the voice activation. So
yeah,
I said, hey
2018.
Siri. Yeah, I finally learned. Oh, here it goes. Oh, gosh. Hey, Siri. There goes. Oh, this is awkward. My phone is right here. That actually was not supposed to happen. So anyway, I said, hey, Siri. And she said, go ahead. I'm waiting, right? Kind of like in a snotty attitude. And then I said, I was hesitant for a second. I said, cancel. And she said, there's nothing to cancel. And I just thought, you know, that's Apple. That's my stock. That's my guys. But and I was kind of in a frustrated mood. So I go over and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop and get a six pack of my favorite beverage.
There you go.
And stop by NPM. And I walk up to the counter and I notice on the counter, there's a sign that says, we ID everyone. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm getting ready to pull out my wallet and everything and to pay for the stuff. And I'm like, hey, you didn't ID me. And it was like, no, we got you, man. And I'm like, Marquee Media, they recognized me from the billboards. They didn't even card me at AMPM. That's how my life is going these days. I'm getting recognized, all thanks to Marquee Media. Coming up in the show, we've got Yvonne and Paul Kelly, owners of Daycation. They're helping enhance the quality of life for the elderly and their families. Later in the show, we also have Eli Weiner, the Western States mobile home guru. But coming up after the break, we have the award-winning stunt coordinator who has created some of the best action sequences in some of the biggest movies in the film industry. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Marquee Media. This is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the place where our crazy dreams seem just a little less crazy. Mark Haney is our chief dreaming officer. He knows the right people, the right tactics, and the right philosophies to win. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of being joined by Gary Davis. He is a stuntman and award-winning stunt coordinator. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Thanks for coming out. A lot of people, I think, in our town don't know who you are. You're like one of the best-kept secrets in the region. Talk to us about your illustrious stuntman career.
I don't know what there is to say about that. I started out my daredevil career as a motorcycle jumper. It was Evel Knievel and I yelling at each other in Wire World of Sports.
Wow.
And the movie business just decided they needed someone that could do that, so they kind of drafted me.
Okay, so you were working with Evel Knievel or doing stunts for him or just alongside him?
In the beginning, it was him versus me. We would yell at each other. We weren't friends at all. And then when they did an Evel Knievel television pilot for a series, Sam Elliott was playing Evel Knievel.
Okay, yeah. I happen to remember that time frame. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Evel actually was upset that they brought me in to do the stunts and took a bunch of his equipment away from the company, and we had some issues. But then when he crashed in London over the 13 buses, he called me to come and take his place and finish his European tour. And then we did a movie where I doubled him called Viva Knievel. And it's since then I did all his writing.
Right. And then that launched your career. Now you have done a stunt coordination and you've been a stuntman in and how many films? Describe the totality of the of your, you know, your business.
Well, a couple hundred feature films.
Wow.
And in about the same in television, episodic television, 200, maybe 200 episodes of television and 170 commercials, I think, at this point.
Wow. So we talk about risk, right? So obviously owning a business is risky, but your actual occupation has physical risk. Like when you go in to do a stunt or put together a stunt, I mean, where does risk fall into the philosophy?
As a stunt coordinator, or if I'm designing the stunts the whole time, I actually approach it as a pessimist. I try and figure everything or address everything that can possibly go wrong. So I sound like I'm talking the thing down, but if something is going to go awry, I don't want it to be the first time my brain's had to deal with it. You know, so, we've had cars. I was a passenger in a car and a guy went too fast off a drawbridge and we were supposed to just stop at the top and then back down. We went off the edge and dropped. And I was afraid that we were going to turn over on the way down. So I already had my escape figured. And I didn't get hurt. He did.
Well, I mean, I know Evel Knievel because I'm an old guy, and I had his poster in my bedroom up on the wall when I was a kid. But you're doing current day movies too. Give us a name drop a little bit of the people you work with and the movies that you've been involved with.
Well, I've doubled lots and lots of actors, but the last few movies I've done were the last two Spider-Man movies and Green Hornet and Terminator 2 Against All Odds. Those are all movies where I got to direct and coordinate the stunts on and stuff.
Can you describe like a challenging situation when you run into, you're having to engineer these tricks, these stunts? Talk to us about the challenges that you run into when you're trying to create something that's safe enough, but it's thrilling enough as well.
When we did the movie Against All Odds, we rode in a race between a Porsche and a Ferrari on Sunset Boulevard. And when we finally got ready to do it, our permit only allowed us 90-second closures. Well, 90 seconds. I can't even start the car and get it in place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still had to place 20 to 30 other cars out there that we were going to weave through and go head on at and stuff. So I had a really good cop who, instead of just locking traffic down for that short amount of time, he diverted all the traffic so it went all through UCLA. They weren't happy about that.
I can imagine.
But that's the only way we could have possibly gotten it done. And so I would go out and with my little toys, I draw on the street with chalk and I have little toys and we talk about what's going to happen so everybody gets to see that's participating and all my cameramen get to see. And then we go out in the street and we walk at each other. So if we're going to go head on, I want to know that I'm going around your left side each time, you know. And then we'll go out and do one or two rehearsals slowly.
Okay.
And then we go for it at speed. And in those days, we didn't have all the computer-generated stuff like you see in a Tom Cruise movie now where a car vaults over and he just ducks his head and it goes over his head. We didn't have that kind of ability. So everything we did was fast. I mean, our whole chase was done above 80 miles an hour so that when we went around corners, you could see there was smoke coming off our tires and we were sliding all the corners.
Incredible. Well, we were talking about jumping the Snake River Canyon earlier, right? That was the big attempt the Evel Knievel tried, but you've recently got involved in trying to do that again. What happened?
We did it, and we did it successfully. We built a duplicate to his rocket off of the same plans that his rocket was built off of. We called ours the Evel Spirit, and we went back to Snake River Canyon and set it all up, and I shot one over as a test one, and it went a half mile, and it only had to clear a quarter mile. And Eddie Braun, who is Charlie Sheen's stunt double, was in it when we shot it for real. And he delayed pulling the chutes and stuff, which had me worried. I had the button to blow the back end off and blow all kinds of chutes out. But he did it just in time. But because of that extra couple of seconds, he ended up going 3/4 of a mile, a little bit farther than we planned. So we were flying over potato fields and pickups to try and get to him right away.
Oh, my gosh. So everything turned out okay, and it was a success. So now thinking about your business, right? A lot of us in business, you know, there's risks that we take. And, you know, it makes us sometimes feel a little nervous, maybe even keep us up at night. What kinds of things have kept you up at night in building your business?
Well, I've never invested money in promoting Gary Davis or promoting getting jobs in the picture business. My risks are, I guess, just all physical risk or the risk of not having a check at the end of the month to pay the bills. But I stay up at night constantly, especially if I'm directing, trying to get all the shots through my head and stuff. And I'll wake up, I'll write notes to myself all night long and stuff. And if I'm jumping out of a window and having to go to an airbag, you know, 80, 90, 90 feet down, that's one thing. But if I have to hire, let's say, a girl to do it and shove her through the window that's going to break and she's going to, I'm really risking her life.
Yeah.
I'm.
What about injury or death, right? These things, we all know that that's possible in some of these high-speed stunts or the high-flying stunts. Any tragedies happen along the way?
Sure. I've lost some good friends. And I mean, accidents will happen. And that's why I said when I'm prepping something, I'm very pessimistic. I try and think of everything that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Walking us through risk and reward, what's the upside for you? You're still doing it. You've had all this success. We talked about, you having these, all this acreage out just outside of town in Auburn. And, you know, what a life, right? You know all of these famous people. You've been involved in so many cool things. What keeps you pressing today?
Oh, I still enjoy all that. I never got involved in drugs or anything. My drug of choice is adrenaline. And so I need that rush. I really do.
Yeah.
So thinking about your career, right? Because when I first met you, my son Marks and I were talking, right? This guy reminds us of Chuck Norris, right? He's kind of that grizzly kind of guy and must be tough. And we saw you and like, man, that guy could be Chuck Norris. And then you told me you used to fight Chuck Norris.
Well, I mean, yeah, he brought Korean karate to this country and made a big business out of it. And I was studying Chinese karate, Kenpo. And so there was matches and stuff, and we would fight.
And what happened?
I usually got my butt kicked.
So, but you and Chuck are still friends. Now, do you reminisce about the old days? What's the relationship like? You know, because a lot of people think about Chuck Norris, like one of the toughest guys in the world. When he crosses the street, right, the cars stop and look both ways, right? All that stuff. So your relationship with Chuck Norris today?
We're good friends. I see his kid more than I get to see him. Eric Norris is one of our good stunt coordinators now.
Okay.
And I just worked for him in Hawaii a couple of weeks ago. So I always ask about Chuck. I only see Chuck every other year or something now.
Yeah. Well, we talked about regrets too. And I think maybe the older we get, we start thinking about, do I have any regrets? And so do you have any regrets or anything that you've, opportunities that you feel like, man, maybe I should have jumped on that and I didn't?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, I've had lots of people that approach me with different business ventures, and basically, I'm a chicken. I mean, I may do all
you.
This.
You're not a chicken,
I know.
Gary.
I mean,
come on now.
I'm bad about risking any money. I don't gamble. I don't go to casinos and stuff.
Interesting. Risk your life, but not risk the bank account.
That's a different deal. You know?
I love it. Okay, so what? Okay, describe a regret. I mean, what caused you to walk away from a stunt opportunity? Anything? Any jobs you ever turned down?
Yeah, I've had a couple. And out of all the things I've done, I've never jumped out of an airplane with a parachute. I've had a reoccurring...
With a parachute.
Well, I've never jumped out of an airplane, period, honestly.
Okay. like, oh, wow.
I had a reoccurring dream. It's the only time I've had a reoccurring dream through my life that my chute doesn't open. And I don't give a darn how good you are. If your chute doesn't open, it doesn't open. Yeah. And so I've just never tested that. I go to these simulators and stuff and have great fun skydiving inside, you know, the ground and stuff. But
any advice to us as entrepreneurs in facing our fears?
Well, I always say the same thing, I guess, about facing your fears. If you're going to address the fears, you got to go full on at it. You can't go halfway. If I have to run and jump through that window and hit a bag down below, if I lag here at all, I'm more than likely not going to burst the window. I'm going to get hung up a little bit and fall short of the bag. If I'm making a motorcycle jump and I waver on the speed, there's a good chance I'm not going to do it right. Anything I do, I give it every bit of my attention.
Commit to the decision. You got to have that courage of conviction. Gary, thank you for sharing your story. Thanks for joining us on the Mark Haney Show. We've never had anything like this on the show, so it was a super treat. Really appreciate it. Coming up after the break, we're going to meet Eli Weiner. He's the founder and president of Cascade Corporate Management. They're the mobile home guys. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland and DCA Capital. This is the Mark Haney Show.
We are back with your entrepreneurial weekend wake-up call. It's Mark Haney time. And welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us has something special inside. And Mark Haney has a knack for helping us see the greatness we have inside. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. And today, I have the pleasure of having Eli Weiner. He is the Western States mobile home guru. He's the man behind Bovita Group. Eli, how you doing today?
Very good. Good to see you.
You hanging or banging today? Because when we're hanging, we're in our relaxed mode. We're in our shorts. We're in recharge mode. When we're banging, we're at our very best opportunity. And I see you're wearing your hanging or banging shirt. So
yeah,
I figured you must be doing one or the other.
We're banging today.
All right. We are at our very best. Okay. So let's talk about that. When Eli Weiner is at his very best, what is he doing?
Keeping up with everything. Just keeping up with, you know,
I don't know how you do that. How many mobile home parks do you own?
So we've got 96 mobile home and RV parks. And okay. I was thinking about last time I was on your show, it was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
So we must have added probably about 60 parks.
Wow.
So the power of going on your show.
Look what happens when you come on the Mark Haney show. Your business just blows up.
There's that. Once you start calling someone an entrepreneur and saying, you know, there's a lot of responsibility. That's why I had to go out and prove it.
Yes.
So you've gone
you up to 96 mobile home parks. Thinking about what do you do? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. Obviously, you're still growing like crazy. What do you do? What's your role as the man behind all this?
My main focus is acquisitions. And, you know, we try to figure out what everyone's the best at. And I like to buy stuff.
Okay.
I like to buy stuff that has problems.
Uh-huh.
So the Boa Vida means good life. And if you look at a lot of these communities, when they were built years ago, there was just phenomenal community in these neighborhoods.
Okay.
So it's really kind of a neat opportunity to go in to see something that's kind of been worn out and there hasn't been the capital reinvested, that we can go in, basically reinvest that capital, rejuvenate the neighborhood, bring people together and build that community.
Okay. So you go into we'll call it a dilapidated mobile home community. Maybe there's even problems there with the people, maybe with the mobile homes. What do you do to turn it around? What happens?
And you know, the good life is not about the things that we have, and it's about the relationships that we have with people. And by building that community, you know, they're basically living the good life.
Yeah.
By doing that and producing a profit while doing that, we make it repeatable.
Mm-hmm. So what does it look like? What's the before and after look like?
It can look really bad before.
Okay.
I mean, really bad. I mean, we have a park up in the Reading area that actually had like an actual axe murder.
Whoa.
And it was right next to a charter school.
Oh,
it was,
my
you know, so that's a place where we actually completely, you know, emptied it out.
Yeah. You had to evict all the
brand new utilities, brand new roads, and now we're ready for home. We're going to be putting in a bunch of brand new homes. And
okay, so then you come in with the brand new mobile homes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're in this acquisition mode. Obviously, it takes a lot of money to go out there and risk. How do you assemble these funds? Where does all the money come from?
Usually from...
From cash flow?
It's from cash flow. It's from cash flow. We have just a fantastic group of investors. We've got a local company that did a large investment with us last year that we were able to do about $60 million in deals last year.
Wow.
So we've got, I probably have the best investors that you could ever hope for. Just, and when you're doing well and everything's going as you had planned, everyone reinvests. So everyone wants to, you know, get back in the next deal.
Well, thinking about, you know, the conversation that we just had with Gary Davis, we're talking about risk, and he was talking about some of his teammates, when they take a risk, that was a more difficult for him than when he risked his own life. And I have to imagine if you're risking other people's money, right? If you've brought in a couple of investors to help you do this, there's a fiduciary responsibility to these people.
You know, he talked about if you're going to throw your mom out of a window to fall 100 feet and the type of due diligence that he's putting in.
I don't think he mentioned his mother.
No, I'm taking it to the next level because you know we're talking about we're risking our money, we're risking investors' money. So the amount of due diligence that you have to go through, the amount of, understanding the risk, I mean, that's, you know, very, very important. So, you know, our principles at the Boa Vida Group are basically, you know, investors first, and then we put our money where our mouth is. So we're going to invest along with them.
Well, you know how to turn mobile homes around and make your investors a lot more money, a lot better off financially. But let's think about what keeps you up at night. You know, Gary talked about that a little bit. Like, what scares you today or what worries a guy like Eli Weiner?
Well, worrying. I try not to worry too much.
Okay. How do you eliminate the worry from your life? Have you done that your entire life? Is that genetic, or do you have a practice?
I would say that probably the number one thing that I might, you know, be concerned about is that I wasn't in the beginning. You know, years ago, you're starting a business. I need to make enough money. I got to pay for, you know, this kid I made and, make sure that my wife can get groceries and stuff like that. So you're not really wondering.
You don't have as much financial to lose when you're young.
Yeah, you're not wondering whether or not you're building a good company.
Okay.
So I would say in these last few years, it's really about building a company that has phenomenal culture. And how you're treating your team, how you're treating your customers, in our case, our residents that live in the communities, how we're creating just an exceptional experience, an above average experience. So I think is the biggest challenge, because you can make a lot of money, but it's important that you do it the right way.
How do you build that culture?
Well, that's.
I stumped Eli Weiner. Don't tell me that.
Well, leadership. It's all about by example, and it's a long process, and without basically being right there in the front, leading that way, and keeping communication open.
Yeah. But you guys have a culture too. I know you have a culture of giving back to the community, right? I know you're involved personally. You've helped Haney Biz with our thing, the things that we're doing around here, and Allegiant Giving. I mean, talk to us about the culture of giving back and somebody who's had so much success. And when did you decide to start giving back in the way that you do?
Well, probably not early enough. It's only been maybe, maybe 3 years or something that I've been, that giving on a regular basis, maybe 3-4 years. But I believe in giving uncomfortably. So, basically it's what's going to make it a little bit uncomfortable if I give this too much. So first of all, every time and there's some people that everyone knows they got a ton of money, so they got to be really careful. And that's, hopefully that's a good problem to have. But if someone sends me something and they're raising funds for a charity, or they have something that's important to them, you really have to look at that as an opportunity. And you always hear all this stuff about, it comes back to you, it comes back to you. And the truth is, it comes back to you like in all sorts of crazy ways. I try to get involved in as many local local charity fundraisers that I can. Anything that I can help in the Sacramento area, the relationships that you build because of that. And another thing is, you meet all these other like kind guys, and most of them are all entrepreneurs. So they get excited and they connect you with other people, and so it's crazy. Really the advice is give uncomfortably, and it's through the relationships that you build, it's insane how it comes back to you.
We only have a minute left. Closing thoughts to entrepreneurs out there that are thinking about their diversification strategy or their go all in strategy. Advice to entrepreneurs as they enter the waters that are so scary here in entrepreneurship.
The advice to enter the
advice, right? So when we start off our journey as entrepreneurs, we have these big dreams, right? We dream about owning 96 mobile home parks, maybe 196 or maybe 1,000, right? We have these big dreams, but then we get in and it's a heck of a lot harder. We think about quitting. We get nervous. We stay up at night because it's not working like we thought. Like those people that are in that moment of like worry and doubt and fear, advice to them as they continue to press on?
Well, I think, you do your due diligence. And I think we spoke about this before. Don't have a backup plan. Just get it done. Yeah. Don't have an out. Don't have a safety net. Just know, and just go.
Yeah. All right, Eli, thank you for joining us. Love what you're doing. Love working with you out here in the community, in the entrepreneurial world. When we return, I will be joined by Paul and Yvonne Kelly, the owners of Daycation for Seniors. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Chicago Fire and the Apex Appraisal Services. This is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to your entrepreneurial wake-up call. Mark Haney is living proof that nobody goes through life undefeated. His failures have defined his philosophies. His successes have defined his mantras. And through his stories, we are awakened to our own true potential. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies and California Growth Advisors. I'm Mark Haney, and today I'm joined by Paul and Yvonne Kelly, the owners of Daycation for Seniors. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're doing awesome. Great, Mark.
Thank you for coming out. Yvonne, I'll start with you. I don't know you guys super well, but I heard about your business, and I had to understand it better. Tell us about Daycation for Seniors.
Well, we just have a great passion for enriching the lives of seniors as they age, kind of their end of life years. Mm-hmm. And we just have groups, about 25 a day that come and spend the day with us and allowing their family caregivers to take care of other things. And we just have that passion.
So if I'm a guy that has maybe a parent that's aging and they're living with me and I need a break from mom or dad or whoever it might be, I just need to drop them off so I can go have some freedom, some peace of mind, I can drop them off at your facility. Is that right, Paul?
That's right, Mark. A lot of the caregivers that come in, you know, they're looking for socialization for their loved one, but in the back of their mind, they really do need a break. A lot of them are down. They've been taking care of them for maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years even, and without much of a break. So when you look ahead in your week saying, hey, I know mom or dad's going to go to daycation and I'm going to be off for 7-8 hours, you know, they can plan their life and get recharged to do that caregiving that they...
Well, I'm thinking about Marcus dropping me off at daycation here in a few years, and what am I going to look forward to, right? Marcus has got me all excited about going over to daycation for my little playtime. What does that look like for me? Why am I looking forward to it, Paul?
Well, before they come, they're people with Alzheimer's dementia. Their world has shrunk down. They're watching TV mainly. They're not doing a lot. Their social life has shrunk. Maybe they're not even going to church anymore. And that was their last social time together. So when they come to our place, they are around other like peers. Our average age is about 83 years old.
Okay.
We have our first centurion that started our center about 2 weeks ago. 100 years old. She's going to be in September, 101. And
good for her.
But they can look forward to meeting people, socializing, getting some mental and physical stimulation throughout the day. And whether they come in for 4 hours or the whole day, it just gives them something to look forward to and a purpose of their life. In order, you know, you have to have that purpose in your life. I don't care how old you are to be able to get up. You get to that certain age, a lot of depression starts setting in. And when they come to our center, it's all about living in the moment. We give them moments of great time there.
Okay. And how long do we drop them off for?
Average is probably about 6 hours. We do have a 4 hour block of time, a 6 hour, and then all day. So,
well, you talked about, Yvonne, you talked about your passion for this cause. It sounds like more than a business for you. What led to the actual launch of the business, and what kinds of challenges have arisen?
Well, we came together with brainstorming this idea to open a day program. We've risked it, just put everything, you know, our time, money, and just everything into this business, and we're really pleased how it's turning out.
It's working,
Paul,
huh?
Paul can explain.
So, Paul, thinking about risk, right? So we Eli talked about allocation of resources a little bit. He's all in on mobile homes, and he's been extremely successful. How about this business? I mean, what did you have to risk in order to get this thing going?
Well, before I started this, I was involved in elder care and board and care homes. Yvonne has been over 20 years working in facilities as well. So we came together with our knowledge of dementia. Not all dementias, it's all different. Just because some person has it, it's going to be different for somebody else. So our knowledge of knowing that there is a niche, there is a need for this. So we're out there to supply that service to those people that need that in between. We look at us as a bridge. People want to stay home and age as long as they can before they go to a facility. Mm-hmm. And we're that in between. We're that bridge where they can still have a life at home with their loved ones, whether it's their adult children or their spouse, but come during the day to do some meaningful activity. So the risk that we put in is a lot of time. Of course, any business takes a lot of time and effort. And to build that up, and you know, businesses talk about, well, you got to have, you know, good customer service. Ours goes a little bit farther, I think, because people have to believe that we can take care of their loved one, even though they're there for just a day. You're leaving your mom or dad that has dementia with somebody that you don't know too much about. They come in, maybe talk to us, interviewed us. But so it's building that trust up with those family members.
Yeah, when you drop off your parents, right, you feel some risk involved in that because you want to make sure they're taken care of. How do you guys mitigate that trust issue? How do you make that go away?
Well, first of all, we have a great staff. We hire certified nurse assistants, all in experts in dementia care, as we are as well. And we give a lot of outside counsel on problems they might be going through because we have been around a lot of people with dementia, and we know that because they're different, not everyone's a cookie cutter. They might need some help handling a problem at home, a behavior. So we can give them that information, and I think that helps build the trust that, hey, these people know what they're doing. Of course, you know, our building, there are safety features. There's alarms on the doors. People don't just walk out, you know.
What's your vision for the future of the organization?
Well, our goal is to franchise. We're in the process of trademark. Hope to get that done in the next few weeks. And sometime next year is to start offering franchise opportunities.
Exciting
that's
stuff.
We know that there is a big need for this. Unfortunately, dementia is not going to go away anytime soon. Yvonne and I are both lifelong learners. We read all we can about dementia care, any chance we get to see what is on the cutting edge. But unfortunately, there is no cure yet.
Well, any advice to people who are thinking about going all in on a business? You have done that. It's obviously working to the point where you're going to scale it through franchising. But just advice to people who are thinking, you know what, I'm thinking about jumping into something, and it's now the time.
Well, I would, as other people talked about, you know, you really got to research it of, you know, what your risks are, but you got to just go all in. You got to just say, this is what we're going for. You give it 110% and you don't look back. You can't put negatives in your way. Yvonne and I, we both listen to motivational talks all the time.
So much,
and
Paul.
Just to keep us going, keep that drive going. And that's it.
Thank you, Paul. I love that. Go all in. Commit to the jump. Thank you, Paul and Yvonne, for coming on the show today. Also want to thank Gary Davis and Eli Weiner for sharing their stories. If you want to, you can follow me on Instagram. Some people want more Mark Haney. Some people want less Mark Haney. Either way, I'm out there on social media. I'm out there in the community. Feel free to hit me up. I am the Entrepreneur Next Door. When we return, we'll share our takeaways, closing thoughts. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. Courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors, Stifel Financial. This is the Mark Haney Show. So young, here
we go, American dreaming. We are back with Mark Haney, the man whose mission statement is tattooed to his soul. With future generations in mind, he will create opportunity for his family, for his friends, and for his community. He is the Entrepreneur Next Door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Silvers HR and Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney. I'm back here with the Marine Entrepreneur, Marcus Haney. Marcus, thoughts about today's show? Any takeaways, buddy?
Well, I think I might have found my new career path being a stuntman because I've jumped out of a plane. So I think I got one up on Gary Davis. So.
Yeah, even Gary didn't want to do that.
Yeah, that's all right. My shoot opened. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a great show. I think we talked about regrets. It didn't seem like anybody in the room today really had any regrets. People are chasing their dream, and Gary was able to look back at his life, and I think with a lot of pride, as people who take that kind of risk do. And thinking about people, you know, do I go all in? Is it my time? And I mean, there are so many times that we hesitate, right? We heard today about if you have a dream, go for it, commit to that jump. But I think so many times we don't know what we want to do. And I always think about there are things that we know for sure. Right? Am I right? I mean, and we can commit, we can go all in on what we know. We all know that lollygagging is not as good as full speed attitude, right? We know that. that that picking up the phone and making an outgoing sales call is a lot better than sitting there watching that phone and waiting it for it to ring. And I think we also know, and we heard about this today too a little bit, putting the right people in your life that have the same commitment as you do is never a bad thing. And I think that's one of the things that I've been fortunate to do in my life is put the right business partners in my life, and we find a way to commit to one another. And those that trust that was talked about today, that doesn't happen by accident. Just meeting somebody over at Starbucks or at the latest startup meetup, whatever, that's not necessarily, or Match.com, Marcus, or something like that. That's Tinder. Not necessarily the way to do a long-term relationship. Sure, it's possible, but then the trust needs to get built over time. Sometimes it's over the war stories and the hard times that you go through with one another. That's how you really know your business partner's pain tolerance. You know if they are the type of person that can hang on to the dream like you can, that can commit to the jump. And it makes me think about my first business partner. My little brother, Paul, we had a paper route together, a kick butt paper route. I'm 11, he's 10, and we are killing it, right? We are making some good money, banking all this dough, right? And so one day we decided my mom was going up to Auburn to drop off lunch for my dad at his TV shop, and Paul and I got a chance to kind of get set free for the day in the town of Auburn. And so we decided, what do we want to do? We're going to go spend all our cash on cool stuff, or we're going to do something else? And we decided, you know what? Let's go on a journey. Let's go find the American River. So we're in downtown Auburn, and our goal for the day, we're going to go touch the water at the American River. And we don't even know our way around. We just know it's near there. We had been in there. We had been out there at an earlier age. So we set out, and we are just, we kind of have the world by the tail. We're coasting, right? We're in that sort of coast mode down the mountain into the, and we finally figure out, oh, it's generally down this way, and we hike down to the water, and we touch, and the next thing you know, we find ourselves in probably the most treacherous, death-defying moment of our lives, of our young lives. We had climbed back up the mountain, Marcus, and we got stuck. Oh, no. And it had started to rain. We're climbing out of this canyon, and we didn't really pay attention exactly to how we got in. We just knew we came down. Now, all of a sudden, we're stuck on the side of the mountain, right? We climbed up about a couple hundred feet, right? And then the climbing got a lot more difficult. We're stuck on the side of the mountain. And I'm up ahead of Paul by a few steps, and it's like, oh, man, we can't go down. And we can't go back up. What do we do? Mom and Dad don't even know where we're at.
No cell phone, out
in the middle of nowhere, stuck on the side of the mountain. The next ridge up for safety was probably about 3 foot up. And here I am, an 11-year-old kid. I'm going to have to do something fairly dangerous. Looking down over the canyon, a couple hundred feet down, I'm going to have to step onto a rock, grab a tree that could, or a little bush that's sticking out of the the ground, and I'm going to have to grab onto that and not let go, and then climb to safety. So I looked
at Gary Davis move.
Right? It was Gary Davis all the way, and no parachute, right? And so there I am, and what do I do? And I just remember I'm going, Paul, I'm going to do this, and wish me luck. And we told each other we love each other, and my little paper out buddy says, you can do this, Mark. And I stepped onto the rock, and I reached, and I lurched myself up to this little bush, and I climbed up to safety. Here I was. I'm safe. Now, here's the real dilemma. Do I run back and get Mom and Dad for help, or do I leave Paul on the side of the cliff, or do we try to help my little brother to do that same maneuver? He's not quite as tall as I am, so he's going to have to actually grab my arm, and I'm going to have to help get him up to and hanging out 200 feet above the American River Canyon to sure death. And it's like, wow, I'm not even sure I can find my way back. It's raining, it's overcast. I mean, I'm, not good with directions as an 11-year-old, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? Our arms are all wet. What do we do? We said we loved each other one more time. And I think this is like these moments like this are where, it's like you figure out what you're made of. And we told each other we loved each other. And I said, Paul, you're going to reach your arm onto mine, and I'm going to pull you up. And at the same time, you're going to jump. You're going to have one arm on my arm locked. And then you're going to find that little bush up there that I just grabbed onto. Are you ready? I love you too, Mark. and he did it, and we locked on in mid, not in midair, not flying, but like he's touching, and I pulled him, and he pulled himself up to that next level. And I got to tell you, you know, it was a hair-raising moment, but you know what? Paul and I went on to build that paper route together, do video stores, build out a chain of video stores together, and then build some security stuff together, and there was never a moment that was more scary. We had scary moments, near-death moments in all of those businesses, but there was never a moment where I thought, does Paul have my back? Would he take one from me? Would he risk everything for me? Would he be all in and commit to the jump? Because in that moment, we could have lost everything, and somehow we figured it out. And I think as business partners, as we think about like growing our businesses, we have to put people who can go all in, who can commit to the jump in our lives. So thinking about that, we're going to have good times, bad times, but we got to be able to hang on. Just a Sacramento salute to the leaders of hometown patriotism, to the guys like you, Marcus, who have fought the good fight for our freedom, our security, our way of life, and to the 13 stripes, and to the 50 stars, and to that one big American dream that's always worth going all in on. Yours. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.